Earlier this year, Erica Lessem with the advocacy nonprofit Treatment Action Group laid out to the New York City Council Health Committee why it was so critical that the city get ahead of the uptick in new TB cases. In 2016, there were 565. Last year, there were 613.
TB is airborne and infectious, meaning anyone who breathes is at risk. But as you mentioned, Chair, TB disproportionately affects the most vulnerable, those with weakened immune systems, people living in crowded settings, and our immigrant communities. As you heard from Commissioner Bassett, despite being preventable and curable, TB is on the rise in New York for the first time in over 25 years. Also increasing at a rapid pace are cases of drug-resistant TB, which are more difficult and costly to treat. This resurgence of TB is a direct result of years of underinvestment in the public health response to TB in New York City.
In an exchange with Health Committee Chair Councilman Mark Levine, former City Health Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett described how the backsliding in TB funding coincided with an upward spike in the disease.
First, over the past 10 years, funding for tuberculosis control efforts has declined by nearly 50%, including a 20% state reduction last year and a proposed reduction in fiscal year 2019. This is particularly concerning because for the first time in several decades, we are seeing an increase in TB cases in New York City.
And it has been cut by because of the state's budget in the prior fiscal year, is that correct?
It's been cut and cut over the last decade, reductions in federal funding as well as reductions in state funding and reductions, frankly, by the city as well. We have cut our number of staff in half. We now run only two clinics full-time. Two clinics are open on a part-time basis, so we have four clinics citywide. And as I've said, there's been an uptick. For those of us who've been around for a while, this has an eerie echo with prior experience where the TB program was cut and we saw the rates of TB go up. We don't want to see that happen again.
New York City is home to roughly 500,000 undocumented immigrants who rely on the city's municipal hospitals for their health care. Dr. Mitchell Katch, CEO and president of New York City's Health and Hospitals, says the system is already seeing evidence that President Trump's crackdown on immigrants has resulted in immigrant families avoiding the health care system for fear of being deported.
Are you concerned about a perfect storm where we've seen cutbacks in terms of free testing and then this other aspect you described where people will be hiding in the shadows? Does that concern you, a certain kind of synergy there?
It does concern me. I mean, in general, immigrants are healthy people. You have to be a rugged individual to be able to survive as an undocumented person in this country. But it only takes one person who, you know, becomes exposed to tuberculosis, is sick, exposes other people, and all of a sudden you have a whole group of cases. And it can also be about flu, right? It can be about whether or not people are coming forward to have flu diagnosed, whether they're getting their flu shots or avoiding getting shots because they don't want to, you know, risk public charge. They have fears about who is in the hospital. I mean, there are a whole range of things. What the country needs to say is that when it comes to health care, there are no barriers around immigration because there are no barriers between people on the bus and no barriers between people on the subway or in the street. And therefore, we should want everybody to be as healthy as possible.
A serious communicable disease, TB doesn't know borders or boundaries. Its impact extends well beyond the individuals it afflicts. Friends, family, and work colleagues all have to be screened. That's something Kate O'Brien, a broadcast engineer for CBS Sports and mother of two, knows all about. She returned to the lobby of Mount Sinai Hospital on New York City's West Side to share her story about how a missed TB diagnosis forever altered her life.
I lived here for over 2 months, I want to say about 75 days, from January 19th to April 4th, 2015. My symptoms for tuberculosis, I have to say this over and over again, were very, very standard tuberculosis symptoms. I had night sweats. I had decreased appetite. And I was coughing constantly. And I was like, what is the deal? I was like, this is like I need to get in with the doctor. So I switched to a new primary care physician, you know, that didn't know me. And, you know, he didn't want to do a chest x-ray, even though I was saying I was coughing up blood and stuff, because I was pregnant. And so that's not uncommon. So had I gotten a chest x-ray early, I probably would have been diagnosed a lot sooner. But over and over again in my story, you'll see how pregnancy really impacted my care negatively.
O'Brien says that even as she got sicker, she had a hard time getting doctors to hear her like she needed to be heard.
There's an expectation when you're pregnant that you should expect discomfort. There's an expectation that women in pregnancy are in discomfort, should expect discomfort, should expect pain. It's very difficult to try and convince people that this is, you know, more difficult than it should be. This is rougher, like something. It's difficult to get a sense of urgency, I feel. Or it was difficult for me in my experience. But when I talk to other women, it seems like that's something that they feel too. And I just don't fit the typical demographic profile of someone who has tuberculosis.
Let's talk about that.
Because yeah.
That's where the lack of public awareness needs to be improved.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would think for an airborne disease, people would really realize that anybody can catch it and that it's easy to catch it. Despite what I told you about not spreading it to my family, tuberculosis is airborne and, you know, people of similar social whatever tend to hang out, but this is New York City. And I've traveled a lot. I'd been to Europe a lot, and I was like, I want to go somewhere else. So, like, you know, my husband, it was all my idea. We went to Hong Kong, Malaysia, and Singapore. And people point to that, and it could have been that. But it also could have been trips I took to London. London has a TB problem. It could have been trips I took to Toronto. We went to Portugal. I mean, it could have been anywhere.
These days, it's O'Brien's upbeat energy that's contagious. Now she recalls her initial intake with state public health officials as a humorous anecdote.
So the guy on the phone with me from the New York Department of Health, he's talking to me, and he's like, okay. He's like, so tell me about where you work. And I was like, okay, well, I work in like a small soundproof edit room. And he's like, oh, just you? And I'm like, no, producers walk in and walk out, and like, you know, graphic designers walk in and walk out. And I'm like, lots of people come in and walk out. And then, you know, they close the door, and I was like, I think that's, and he was like, oh, you know, that sounds like we should really investigate. I'm like, yeah, that sounds pretty bad. But my managers were great, and they were very supportive. And I do have to say that, like, I really did feel like when I talked to them that they were concerned about me dying and my baby, and not that they had this under control. But I heard that they had like a big meeting in the auditorium, and they couldn't say my name, you know, but they're, you know, they're like, somebody that you work with, you know, blah, 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 blah.
So we have the
free screening. Yeah, we have free screenings, you know, blah, blah, blah. And of course I already knew it was me, because like, who do you think it was? The girl that was like walking around like a skeleton with coughing all over the place. But everybody was so great, it didn't matter. And now I can laugh about it.
O'Brien's battle with TB cost her one lung, and has made her a strong proponent of universal health care coverage, so as to remove any impediment between health care and people, no matter how much money they have, their origins, or immigration status.
When the government's not being kind to you, how can you expect people to trust public health? Or when the government you think of is trying to find out a reason not to keep you here, I mean, I just don't understand how we could expect people to trust that, you know, public health is going to have their best interests in mind when other government entities are actively working against you.
According to the CDC, a quarter of the world's population is infected with TB. In 2016, 10.4 million people came down with the disease that caused 1.7 million deaths the same year. The disease is a leading cause of death for the HIV infected. Here in the U.S. in 2016, there were over 9,000 reported cases. For WBGO Investigates, I'm Bob Henley in New York City.